The domino theory wasn't how the world worked then, and it's not today either. This is Geoff Parrish. Years ago, when cold warriors went about justifying America's war in Southeast Asia, a common trait of logic was known as the domino theory. This held that communists couldn't be allowed to seize Laos or Cambodia or South Vietnam, else they would then go on to seize Thailand and the Philippines and eventually all of Southeast Asia. It was lunacy, of course, but that hasn't stopped neoconservatives 40 years later from espousing a similar sort of domino theory of how the world works. This time, it's democracy, not communism, that has to be on the rise, and according to the Bush administration, establishing a beachhead of democracy in Iraq will force the rest of the Middle East to mend its authoritarian ways. The world didn't work that way 40 years ago, and it doesn't today either. The problem with this theory, one of the many problems with this theory, is that it ignores the fact that the region in question is comprised of many different nations with distinct histories, cultures, and political processes. It's tempting to lump together developments this week in Lebanon and Syria and Egypt and point to them as evidence that the Arab world is embracing the calls for democracy President Bush has trumpeted since his inaugural address. But slow down. Opposition movements in Lebanon and Egypt long predate George Bush's call for Middle East democracy. For most of their history, particularly in Egypt, the United States has sided with the government and against opposition critics. Egypt has had both pro-democracy and Islamist movements for over a half century. Both have been objects of political repression, jail, and torture. But even today, Egyptian opposition leaders say they don't want the help of America. Those same opposition leaders also caution that dictator Hosni Mubarak's proposal this week for elections sounds more sweeping than it actually is. Unless opposition parties are free to organize without repression and have equal access to what is largely state-controlled media, any presidential election there would be a farce. Simply having an election is no evidence of democracy. We saw that a month ago in Iraq. In Lebanon, the famously splintered populace of Christians, Druze, and Muslims fought a vicious civil war from 1975 to 1990. Since then, Syria has dominated the military and political landscape. The recent assassination of former Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri has united the opposition and clarified who it's angry at, Syria, but there's no clear idea of what a united opposition would be for. Syria still controls the presidency, the military, and the intelligence services in Lebanon, and forming a new government there may be very difficult indeed. This week's events represent clear progress in the goals of a more democratic Middle East. That's good, but Washington isn't responsible for everything, and George Bush's new evangelism for democracy is no more than a minor contributing factor to the new developments. The policy of trying to incubate Middle Eastern democracy is, on its own terms, a worthy one, but such policies take years to incubate, not weeks. So let's give credit where credit's due to the courageous oppositions in Lebanon and Egypt who've withstood for years the apparatus of state repression to make a stand for what they believe in. They, not George Bush, have seen their labors bear fruit this week. From KPCS, for the Pacifica Network, this is Geoff Parrish.